Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
From the author of the hit rom-com Let's Get Textual comes a hilarious, sassy, standalone, single mom slash enemies to lovers romance that's sure to make you laugh and swoon. I hate Drew Woods and she hates me. Even so, I'm not the cold jerk most make me out to be, and I have no problem moving the single mom and her baby into my home. I do, however, draw a line when it comes to acting on the way her loose lips make me feel. Alive. She's too mouthy, too prying, and her curves are way too distracting. I might have lost my way after a nearly fatal car accident, but I'm not stupid. Giving in to Drew would be a short-lived fix for this pain I'm saddled with, and I need something permanent. I'd be insane to think that what we have could be anything other than temporary, right? Lady listeners, this is a new release from our podcast guest this week, Tegan Hunter, and it's available now on Kindle Unlimited and Amazon. Get clicking! Hey, lady listeners!
Yo, yo, yo!
Welcome!
Welcome to...
It's Friday!
I know, right? You gotta do something else.
It's a great day to read some romance here on Read Me Romance. I was in the car. I had house guests visiting me from Ireland last week, and we were driving to New Jersey because they were coming with me to this book festival. And I was like, well, what podcasts do you guys listen to? And because I had played one of my favorite podcasts is Throwing Shade. And so I played that for them on the way there. And then on the way back, I was like, well, why don't you play one of your podcasts? So like, I want to be exposed to something new. And they put on this podcast called The High Low. And it's like two British women, like from Northern London, North London, not Northern London, North London. And it was like listening to something from another planet. I thought I was pretty like international with my tastes and interests, but they referenced things that it was just like, oh, I'm gonna go down to Jiffy and get a pop pop. It was just
so like, shocked.
What?
There was nothing.
Nothing I'd ever heard of. Like none of the restaurants they were referencing, I had ever heard of.
You didn't get any of the jokes.
No, I could still like find it interesting, but if you're from, I don't know, if you want to listen to something crazy, I would check that out. The High Low.
Do you know, that reminds me, High Low, when you say that, we do that at dinner whenever we and the kids and husband. Yeah, we do that at the dinner table where you have to say the highest point of your day and the lowest point of your day, like the best part and the worst part. We play that.
Oh, I want to do that. That sounds good.
Yeah. I think it's an open-ended question. I mean, because it really does, like, I feel like it kind of, you know, it's harder. The kids don't always, you know, they're just like this and this, you know, just to get it over with. But sometimes you actually get an answer from them that you get to have a discussion about. And like, oh, why was this the worst part of your day? Like, why were you mad? Or why were you upset? And like, oh, that's awesome. That's the best part of your day. That's the coolest thing ever. You know, it's just, it's nice.
That is nice. I'm going to try that with my daughter because she's notoriously closed-mouthed about everything. Like, she doesn't talk to us about anything. She could be like, she could be like the school president. Like, I would have no idea. Or she could be, you know, like the outcast. Mm-hmm. She just like refuses to talk about anything. But.
Well, that was one of the, like, I saw like 50 questions to ask your daughter about instead of like, how was your day? You know, it was like, did you do something today did somebody make you laugh today? And then another question was like, did you do something you were proud of? Did you do something that was like, that made you feel good? You know, there's some, I forget, it's like a picture or something. It's like on Pinterest. You can pull it up and it's just a photo and it has all these open-ended questions that ask them something about themselves, but it also reveals about their day as well and the kind of person they are.
Look into that.
Which, you know, it's like, yeah, so it's like, you know, 25 questions to ask your daughter or something along those lines. And I always forget them, but I always remember Hallow. That's easy. So
this is Read Me Romance. I think we said that already. Hey. And Tegan Hunter is in full effect. We are listening to Text It Up My Heart. And we're going to play the second half in just a little while. But before we do any of that, we're going to chat. But I also wanted to read one of her blurbs because she has these really punny titles that crack me up. And I feel like everybody needs to get in on this. She has another series And this is the first book in it. It's called, the first book is called A Pizza of My Heart.
I love that.
From the author of the hit rom-com Let's Get Textual comes a heartwarming and hilarious brother's best friend standalone romance. Most people would probably be embarrassed to land themselves back in their hometown and working at a pizzeria after an ugly divorce. Not me. It's home, and I have one last shot to make Ren Daniel see me as more than just her brother's best friend. When the opportunity to show her what's been right in front of her this whole time presents itself, I take it, holding nothing back this time. Ren thinks we're pretending, but there's nothing fake about the way I feel. After all, she's always had a piece of my heart. So cute.
That's adorable.
I've never read a pizza. Well, I don't know if he's a delivery guy, but he works at a pizzeria. I've never read a hero like that. And that interests me. I like that.
Because it's pizza.
Yeah.
It's food delivery. You're interested.
Yeah, I'm interested. And I want to hear all the pizza descriptions. And I want to get into toppings.
Their cheese plate delivery. Yeah.
I just lunchtime. Maybe we should probably avoid this topic. I brought some last minute DIY Halloween costume ideas.
I can't wait to hear this shit. What is it? Oh, yeah. It says squad and it has, let's see, Winnie, Mary, and Sarah from Hocus Pocus.
It's the best movie ever. Okay. So, if you're like me, you wait till the very last minute. And I usually go and if you're like me, you wait till the last minute. Stop. Yeah. I was ahead of my time. That was before the Emily Blunt movie actually came out. And I feel like people were like, that's not Mary's costume. And I was like, you haven't seen the movie yet, but whatever. Okay. So I looked up a couple of like fun ones that you can make with stuff around the house or like things that you just have in your drawer. The first one I thought that was really interesting was called It's Rain and Men. And basically what it was you just take an umbrella and you just tie little strings of like men, like celebrity male heads. But then you just attach the strings to the sides of the umbrellas and it looks like you're walking around with men like raining around your umbrella.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
Another one that I thought was really cute was you could dress up like Ruth Bader Ginsburg with nothing more than a black bathrobe and oversized glasses. And then you put some like pearl earrings on and maybe do like a white collar, but you could probably get away with just the black robe and the tight bun and the oversized glasses.
Mm-hmm. The notorious RBG. RBG! Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court.
Supreme Court Justice. Rosie the Riveter. You could wear a jean shirt and tie a red bandana around your head and call it a day. That's one of my favorites. You could be somebody with a chip on their shoulder. And all you have to do is take yellow construction paper and fold it like an accordion, like so that it's got ridges, and then just cut it in kind of an oval shape with the ridges.
Oh, fuck you.
Attach it to your shoulder. You get a chip on your shoulder. Done.
I'm doing that this year.
Audrey Hepburn is pretty easy. You could wear like a black dress, pearls, do an updo, and some sunglasses. The last one I have here is you could be When Life Gives You Lemons. So basically all you need is a basket of lemons and a name tag that says life.
I love that.
So I just sorted out your Halloween for you. You can show up and everybody's going to think you're super clever and it'll take you 5 minutes.
What's the day that this airs? The 25th?
Yeah.
Is it the 25th? So I'm having a Halloween party tomorrow. So, and it's a dress up party and there's a costume contest and there's like winners for adults and a winner for kids.
I'm supposed to go to a Halloween party tomorrow, but I think I'm going to cancel. Is it okay to cancel?
No, you need to go. No,
just because like, I just don't feel like partying lately, you know?
No, but that's why you need to go.
I don't know. I might try to get away with not going. Do you guys cancel plans a lot or do you always follow through on plans?
I want to cancel every single plan I ever make at least once. I want to cancel everything, but I never regret doing it. It's very rare that I regret going through with something that I was like, I just wasted time. You know, like it's rare, especially when it's with friends. There's hardly a situation where I'm like, oh, I just wasted like 4 hours of my life. I'll never get back. You know, because when I'm hanging out with my friends, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Even if I don't want to make the effort, I need to make the effort because not only is it good for your friendships, it's good for your heart. That's what I'm telling you. Like when you feel like you don't want to do it the most, it's like exercise. When you do, when you need it the most is when you don't want to do it.
I had two costume ideas. One is I want to be Robin from Stranger Things, like in her Chips Ahoy costume.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
Scoops Ahoy costume. Or Chips Ahoy. Or I want to be a Rockford Peach from League of Their Own.
Yeah.
So it's a toss up between those two ideas. Did you ever have like a crazy costume as a kid that your mom dressed you up in that you remember really well?
I don't know.
Like what do you remember being as a child?
Yeah, we kind of just made our own. Like, I was a gypsy a lot because I could just wear skirts and a lot of jewelry and stuff. So what did you dress up as a kid? Where did you go?
You guys remember the whole Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan scandal?
Yeah.
So I dressed up like Nancy Kerrigan, which basically I wore like my ballet skirt and like, you know, a leotard. Like, so I had a ballet skirt and like a leotard on. And then my mom took one of my like track medals or like soccer medals and she put silver foil around it.
How old were you?
I don't know, like 11 or 12 maybe, like whatever.
And you knew about this?
Everybody knew about it.
Yeah, it's true.
That was like the biggest story for like 2 years.
And then Amy Fisher. I think about Amy Fisher all the time. And Joey Buttafuoco, I think about him a lot.
That happened on Long Island.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I know a lot of people just like them. And so I wore the leotard, the tutu, ballet skirt. I wore the silver medal. Like, my mom had wrapped tin foil around a medal.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrapped my knee up in like a bandage. And my mom sent me out as Nancy Kerrigan on some rollerblades.
That's awesome. I love that.
That was a good one. That was probably my best one.
So we're having the party at my house on Saturday, but before that, we are having a wedding tomorrow in my house.
What?
In podcast time. Yeah, so I told you our friends that said, you know, after his mother passed, he was like, I want something good to come from this. We're going to get married. We're tired of waiting. So they were coming up for the party and he said, can we get married in your living room while your husband perform the ceremony? And I said, absolutely, let's do this. So in the morning, we're going to have the little ceremony and stuff in our living room. And it's just going to be us and the girls and stuff. Like, they're going to wear little dresses and sprinkle petals. It's actually my daughter's, it's their godfather, and it's he and his partner. So one of the things that I asked him, I'm doing a few things that are, you know, kind of a nice surprise. And even though it's a small wedding, I want it to be really nice. I asked him what their song was. And he's like, we don't really have a song. And I was like, well, what kind of songs do you play at a gay wedding? You know, because it's like a lot of wedding songs are like, she's the one or whatever. You know, it's like it's gender specific. And so he texted me. He's been texting me songs that they like. And he said one of the ones he had was It's Dance With Me by Orleans.
I don't know it.
I'm like, dance with me. I want to be your partner.
I know that one.
Yeah. So, like, there's he said, because it doesn't say the gender and stuff, he said, that's a good one. And so he's told me, like, a couple of songs. But I was going to ask you guys, what did you and your husbands, y'all have songs? What, like, what's your song?
Well, our wedding song was Into the Mystic by Van Morrison, but...
Oh, that's right. I think you told me
that. I have.
That. Yeah.
But we, for some reason, like, the Coldplay album, Politic, was it Politic?
Oh,
was
I love
really
that.
It was it had just come out when we were getting together.
I Fix You. Yeah, that's a good one.
It has like Clocks and Yellow and all those songs on it.
Uh-huh.
And we yeah. like saw Coldplay in Madison Square Garden, I think was one of our first concerts.
Stars and shine for you. Oh, I love Coldplay.
I fucking love Coldplay. I don't care what anybody says. Yeah, me too.
I don't care.
I still love them. I like their new stuff too. I don't care. And the day of our wedding, Chasing Cars by Snow Patrol came on.
Yes.
It came on like 7 times on our wedding day. Like,
holy
every time
shit.
We got in the car, it came on. And
that's not a real romantic song, though, is it? Isn't it about like somebody dying in a car accident or something?
I don't know, but it has a romantic feeling to it.
Yeah.
But also, I think it kind of feels like transition and like it feels like.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, and it's kind of an inspirational, emotionally inspirational song.
You know, there's songs that I associate now with my husband, not because they have like, not because they happen at pivotal moments, but just because we've listened to them so much, they remind me of him. You know, like the song from the Talking Heads. Oh, I can't think of the name of it now, but Talking Heads always reminds me of him.
Yeah.
And like just him dancing around and listening to it and stuff. I looked up gay wedding songs and I was like, I hope this doesn't turn out bad and stuff, like, you know. So I looked up some stuff And one of the things that he said he liked, Just the Way You Are by Billy Joel.
Oh, that's
like, that's
cute.
A good one, because I don't think that one's specific either. But there was one, There Is No Greater Love by Amy Winehouse. And I was like, oh, I love that song. So that one was really good. I put that on there. And then he said they love Jason Mraz and John Mayer, which I was surprised. I was like, you listen to John Mayer? He was like, I fucking love John Mayer. And so he said he has this song called Whiskey Whiskey or something. And I don't know that I've ever heard it, but now I'm going to have to go listen to it. So to see if I, because I thought maybe I could make a playlist.
I can't with John Mayer. I don't know what is. Sometimes I'm either. Like, he's genuinely funny. And then other times, like, I see what he comments on, like, female celebrities' Instagram photos. And I'm like, like, one time Halsey posted, I feel so old talking about these 22-year-old celebrities.
I know.
She posted, like, a picture of herself in a bikini, and he commented, luscious. John Mayer. And then Courtney Love came in and said, John, shut it down. Like, fuck off. And I was like, I can't believe I'm seeing this happening in real time.
That's amazing. Yeah. What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive.
When Courtney Love shutting somebody down. So I've just been really excited by that. And also, I've been looking at outfits to wear to this wedding because,
You better turn up.
It's about me. Oh yeah. It's a wedding in my house. Like, I'm prepared for this. I've got a platinum jumpsuit that's been waiting to get out of the closet. Well, you know, my friend, he told me, he was like, I just want this to be, you know, it's just us. He was like, but I want it to be fun and I want it to be silly and a good time. He was like, can you wear like a bathing suit? He was like, I want tits out. I was like, oh, I got you, boo. So I was like, I'm here for this. I've got, you know, gold sequins galore. It's going to happen. I'm obsessed with this site, and it's called Unique Vintage. And I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's not vintage clothing, but it's clothes that are made to look like they're from different
styles. I saw, is it the mint green dress that you wore to Copa?
Yes.
You told me it was from there, and I adored that dress. Like, it was beautiful.
Oh, my God. That whole fucking site, I'm telling you, I just want to open, like, my wallet and just empty it into that site. Everything on there is so fucking cute. Like, I've sent Mel a couple of pictures of, like, they'll have, like, plaid high-waisted pants with suspenders and, like, a forest green button-up. And I'm like, oh, that's so fucking cute. Like, it's just the prettiest outfit.
What's the price range of like, an, like, what would you spend for a dress? Is it like special occasion-y, or is it just those, is there a range like mod cloth where you can get a dress for like 40 or you can dress for like 5,000? Like,
very mod cloth feel. Yeah. Because it's like some of the nicer ones that are not on sale, you could spend $75 to $125. That's probably the max I've seen is like $125. And that's for like a really nice like wedding dress you could get on there. And then, and it's great because you can shop by era. You can shop by 20s, 30s, 40s.
I love it. I'm going to go.
You're going to die when you get on it. But they also have like a special section where it's like holiday stuff. And it's like, they'll have like Halloween shirts and skirts and they'll be Disney Halloween themed, or they'll have like a bunch of Disney shirts and stuff. They'll have those on there where they're like really cute and vintage looking, and but you would wear them to the park with like a really cute skirt and stuff. Like, it's just, it's so fucking adorable. So I got, I got that dress that I wore to Copa for that. And then I actually ordered a red dress from there the other day because we're having a Christmas party here. And I was like, well, I need a red dress for Christmas. So I got it, but it was on sale and I got it for like $30. But it's like 3/4 sleeves, and then it's got like, it's buttoned to the neck, but then it's got like an opening where the cleavage is, and then it's like mesh, like it's see-through, and then it's called a wiggle dress, so it's tight all the way down, like the rest of the way. Oh, it's so sexy. It's so sexy. I love it. And I was like, if that comes in time for this wedding, you better fucking believe I'm gonna wear this shit. I'm gonna show up in a red tight dress.
Well, if you already ordered it, it should show up. No?
I know. If it shows up before this, I will say that's one thing I have not been impressed with is their shipping speed. They're really slow. So that's why I'm ordering a Christmas dress.
Well,
now.
Not everybody can be like, not everyone can be you, like where people order swag and it goes out the same day. I'm always I gotta set my game up. Like, I haven't sent out my giveaway stuff from the last time I did the podcast. Fuck. Like,
yeah,
I get 2 to 3 weeks. to my brain to get to get on board.
So I did spend $10 and pay because it's free shipping, but it's like, it says 6 to 12 business days. And I was like, that's not going to do. So I paid the $10 for the regular
shipping. No, I'm the same way. I'm like, and we're in the age of Amazon Prime. Like everybody needs to come in. Everybody needs to gather around.
I'm so spoiled from that. I'm so spoiled.
Like I ordered this new microphone on Friday and it came like Sunday. It came on a Sunday.
I know, a Sunday. Yeah. Amazon's doing an hour and they're delivering on Sunday. And I'm like, well, you've just changed the game.
Yeah.
Like, clearly you're on another level.
It's like they were already running things and then they did that. And now it's like just crushing people like bugs. All of a sudden, one day, those Prime trucks were everywhere.
Speaking of this, creepy people showing up. So we were over here. It was like after the baby shower we had on Saturday, we came home and kind of crashed. And I was just sitting there in PJs. And I was like, I'm just going to get DoorDash and have it delivered. And it's new in our town. They just got it like a month ago. I know, I'm sorry. So we just got like a month ago. And so we're sitting there and then our friends come over. The ones that had the baby shower, they come over and they're hanging out with us and our food comes and they were like, oh, how'd you get delivery? And I was like, oh, DoorDash. And the guy was there and he's like, he works part time at the sushi restaurant in town. He's like, I can't believe you did DoorDash. And I was like, why? And he said, I don't want to talk shit. And he was like, but the few people who have come in and picked up the food, he's like, I don't know. I don't know how they screen these people or what. And I said, oh, there's absolutely no screen process.
And they're in possession of your food for like a good 15 minutes.
I know. That's what he said. He was like, they're on like mopeds and shit, like just like coming. He was like messed out, you know, whatever. And I was like, I don't care. Are you telling me I don't have to get out of my house? I don't have to put pants on to go get pasta from the nice restaurant in town? Fuck you. I don't care which method brings me my dinner. Just bring it in my door.
Oh, my God.
You know, like, I just do not care.
Oh, my.
But it was just, that was a funny conversation. And I was just like, I honestly, like, there's probably no screening process for these types of jobs, but
these like apps like Uber Eats and DoorDash are going to kill the restaurant industry, right?
No, absolutely not. No, I told him, I said, if your restaurant, because the sushi place, he was like, they come and pick up, DoorDash comes and picks up food all the time. I said, if your restaurant had delivery, I'd order from you more. And I was like, we go there all the time, but we have to go pick it up. But it's like, if I don't want to do that, I want to be able to pay for delivery. So there's another like Japanese place in town that's shitty, but they deliver. And I'm like, I always have to go and like, we order from the shitty place because they deliver until we had DoorDash. And we're like, now we get it all the time. So I'm just like, if you're hire a delivery guy.
Yeah. No, I feel you. I was talking to my house guests about like scary movies and we were talking about Scream. Do you guys remember?
Yes!
Do you guys remember where you were?
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix?
It's on Netflix right now because I want to watch
it. Do you remember like where you were the first time you saw Scream? Like, I feel like it was monumental because it was like, there was a time where like scary movies had kind of gone out of fashion and then Scream came back. And
well, no, it was different because like scary movies were horror movies when we were coming up. It was like Freddy and Jason and Chainsaw Massacre. Scream was totally different.
It was like pop culture. It was like pop culture too.
It was pop culture. Yes, absolutely. It changed the game.
I still remember I saw it with my friends in the movie theater and just being terrified out of my, I think I was probably like a freshman in high school when it came out.
What was the, I remember the first time when I saw the first one, I think I saw it on video. I think I rented it or something like that. But then I remember like the second one came out in theaters and I went and saw it by myself because I was like, I'm not missing this. This shit is so good. I'm not waiting on anybody to see it. And I went and saw it in theaters by myself. And the beginning of the second one takes place in the fucking movie theater. You remember the beginning of it? And I was just like, freak the fuck out because I'm there by myself. I mean, the theater's packed. It's sold out. And everybody's just screaming because this chick, like, is down there dying in the movie. And you're like, ah! Like, it was so good.
And then I Know What You Did Last Summer came out, like, right on the heels of that. And that was another one that was, like, so relatable and so current. Uh-huh. Like, oh, so
like,
good.
That whole, like, pop phenomenon. Like,
I just remember Jennifer
Love
Hewitt and just spinning around. What are you waiting for? Like her, my just her beautiful God. Boobs, just beautiful from
the and that trim, tiny
and the aerial view of it. I also just remember that scene where Drew Barrymore is just like, he turns the lights on in the backyard and she's tied up in that chair. And you're like, Drew Barrymore is already dead and this movie just started.
I know, it's just the opening and she's the biggest one on the poster. What happened?
So good. And did you guys see, do you guys remember the whole like crazy hubbub about the Blair Witch Project?
Yes. Yeah.
I thought it was real. And I still like, I remember just being like out of my skin, terrified for a week. I was a freshman in high school as well. But what a testament to like acting, because nothing even happens in that entire movie.
Nothing.
It's just a deterioration of like three. But nothing happens.
And like, yeah.
They're just in a forest. They get lost in a forest and like they slowly.
It's the fear of the unknown.
And also.
Which is just so relatable.
Yeah, the fear of the unknown.
They did, the marketing on it was
The thing I find the scary about, the scariest about that movie is like two people you think you know really well and then they start acting differently and you can't and you like all of a sudden you can't get away from them. And, but they're just like people that you thought you knew. And then all of a sudden you're like, can I even trust this person? Are they acting strange? But it's so crazy how that last shot in the movie still scares me.
Her in the corner.
The guy in the corner.
The person, the guy in the corner. Yeah.
Oh my God. I have goosebumps on my legs right now.
That's,
but it's so funny because it's like, all I'm scared of is these sticks hanging in the woods. Like, why is that so scary?
I know. You know what though? You were talking about that I Know What You Did Last Summer always makes me think of the movie Wild Things. Do you remember?
Yeah, Neve Campbell and Denise Richards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That one, those two always make me think of that one. And that one was like, I mean, it was so dirty and so salacious. And at the time it was like, oh my God, these girls do it and da da da, you know? But I love that it was such a good twist at the end, you know, with like the murders and stuff. I just, it was one of those things where I was like, oh, I didn't see that coming.
I never saw it.
So I remember really loving that one. That looks really good.
Now I'm thinking of Cruel Intentions. Why am I thinking of Cruel Intentions? Oh, because the girl on girl kiss, maybe. If you guys want a mind fuck of a horror movie, go watch Cabin in the Woods.
Nope.
No. I'm not going to.
Absolutely.
Trust me.
No. I don't want a horror mindfuck. I'm saying no.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, when this is over, I'm going to tell you the ending, and then you're going to want to go watch it.
No, is this, I think I know, is that the one where it's like the time starts over?
No.
Okay. I did see that one.
Go watch Cabin in the Woods, everybody. Just trust me on it. It's going to leave you just like, what just happened? It's really fun.
I don't know.
Okay.
Is that one? Okay, I'm going to have to ask you afterwards because I don't want to spoil it. Okay.
So before we play the second installment of Texted at My Heart by Tegan Hunter, I don't know. There's so many text titles. I'm just like, wait, which one is it?
No.
Before we get, before we play that, the final installment, I just wanted to recommend one other thing. My friend Jill has a obsession with the movie Friday the 13th and Jason Voorhees.
Uh-huh.
And she, for years, has been traveling with this tiny Jason doll. And she takes all these pictures of Jason killing authors.
What?
So if you go to the Instagram account, Tiny Jason Adventures, you'll see this doll killing J.R. Ward, Shayla Black, me.
I gotta look this up.
Me, R.L. Stine.
What?
That's fucking right. She's had dinner at his house. Katie Robert. Robin Covington, who just basically every author, Jennifer Armentrout.
You said Tiny Jason
Adventures. Tiny Jason Adventures, Lexi Blake. And she travels with this doll. She even sends it sometimes across the country to like pose with authors as if this doll has killed them. And Kristen and Ashley. And I'm just, it's the greatest thing in the world. And I think she might be retiring it soon. I'm not sure. You know, like, it's the greatest thing.
Well, I just followed.
So it's in time for Halloween. It's probably something that you should go enjoy. So Tiny Jason Adventures on Instagram.
This is amazing. Oh my God. I love this so much.
Jill is like, she's really into, like, she's kind of morbid like me, you know? So.
She's got a picture with George R.R. Martin.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Okay, so we're going to play Texted at My Heart by Tegan Hunter, and we'll catch up with you guys on the other side. Bye.
Bye.
Chapter 3. Dude, I'm telling you, just dump some beer on it. We'll slide down so fast it'll make your head spin. No. No. Caleb shakes his head, disagreeing with Robbie. We need water. The beer is just going to make it sticky. But the beer will also make it taste better. Why the hell are you drinking the water? Zach asks, pushing those sexy-as-fuck glasses up his sharp nose. What if someone farts on their way down? You'll be drinking their fart water. And there goes his sexiness factor, right out the window. I swear to God, if anyone farts and ruins this slip and slide, I'll punch you all. Shep vows. You can't command us not to fart. That's not how assholes work. I blink twice at the scene in front of me, listening to these dumbasses talk about farts. The shirts have come off and two empty beer bottles sit by the cooler as Shep and Caleb work to get the slip and slide set up. Robbie's trying to get the hose to work. Zach's standing in front of the grill, still wearing his apron over his chest, which, for some reason, is now shirtless, spatula in hand as he watches the scene play out in front of him. I have no idea what's going on. I can't believe any of you are in relationships.
Even me?
Zach grins, spinning toward me, sauntering my way and wrapping an arm around my waist. Especially you, Mr. Fartwater.
Ha ha, she thinks you're dumb.
Robbie tries to spray his best friend with the hose, and when it doesn't work, he turns it on himself, dousing his own face. Don't worry, I think you're dumb too. I wink at him.
What's up?
Zach shuffles the aluminum pan sitting on the side table attached to the grill. Huh. He must have brought that out before I came downstairs.
Need something?
Just came to make sure you boys didn't need help with anything. But I can see you have it all under control out here.
Yep. Plenty of fart-free water for the slip and slide. Got the meat frying and all that fun stuff.
Frying? I give him a what the fuck look. It's called grilling. Even I know that.
Right. Grilling. Whatever. Same, same diff. Yeah, Delia. Same, same diff.
Robbie echoes. I groan at the saying, having heard it way too many times over the years. Remind me again why you decided to have a barbecue and invite people over?
Because you love us,
Caleb offers. I love one of you. He gives me a cocky grin.
It's me, isn't it? Are you forgetting she dumped you? It's definitely not you, dude.
Robbie shakes his head, then puffs his chest out.
It's clearly me. I'm the handsomest. Not that I'm throwing my hat into the ring or anything, because we all know I'm a dick and have the biggest dick, just so we're clear. But I want to clarify that I'm the handsomest.
Shep shoots me a wink.
We all know it, too. How many beers have you idiots had? Clearly, she loves me the most.
Zach smiles smugly.
Right, baby?
I have no idea why you're all debating this. I obviously meant marshmallow.
Gasp. And leave out graham cracker and milk chocolate? You're a terrible goat mom.
What can I say? Marshy stole my heart first.
Before me?
Zach presses. Especially before you, I tease.
I'd pretend to be offended, but I can't blame you one bit. He is adorable.
Indeed. But can you tell me why our goat is wearing a bow tie? I feel Zach stiffen for only a moment before he relaxes and throws me a grin.
Because he's minding his own business.
Right. None of my business. I look out at the scene in front of me. Three of the best guys I've ever met trying to get a slip and slide operational. Idiots.
We did a good job with them, you know.
The goats? Zach chuckles softly.
Them too. But I was talking about the guys. Can you believe they're all so grown up? I mean, Caleb's going to be a dad. Robbie's getting married. Shep's married and has a kid. It's crazy how far they've all come.
Grown up. Those two words stick out for me. Is that how he sees them as grown up? And because of marriages and babies? And where does that leave us? Are we just two kids playing house? Crazy, I say quietly.
Hey.
He shakes me.
Everything okay?
No. I think I want to marry you, but I don't know if you want to marry me, and I'm way too chicken shit to say anything about it, and the last thing I'm going to do is bring it up in front of our friends. Yeah, of course. I smile. Everything's great. His eyes bore into me like he's trying to read me, and my heart rate picks up. It's hammering so hard, I'm certain he can hear it, and I'm not ready for a serious conversation right now. Shit, shit, shit. After what feels like hours under his heated gaze, his lips stretch wide into a smile, and he pecks a kiss to my forehead.
Just checking. You ladies doing okay in there? Hot dogs will be done in a bit.
Hot dogs? Now it's my turn to eye him, because I am almost certain he told me he was making burgers.
Hot dogs? No, I meant burgers.
He smiles, but his lips waver.
My bad.
Right. Did you happen to plan out this barbecue of yours at all? Buy any snacks for appetizers? I have a pregnant chicken there, you know. We can't go without provisions for too long unless you want one of us girls to eat the other. Before a comment can be made, I throw my hand up and slide my eyes toward the lawn. I swear to God, Robert, if you make one joke about eating pussy, I will twist your nuts off. Robbie snaps his mouth closed, and Caleb snickers at the reprimand before I turn my fiery gaze to him. His back goes ramrod straight, and he sobers up, averting his eyes like the smart man he is.
Snacks are in the cabinet next to the right of the fridge,
he tells me.
I snuck out of the house this morning while you were napping and grabbed everything we'd need.
My mouth drops. You knew I was napping the whole time?
Yeah. Why else would I leave you alone for 2 whole hours? Because I'm nice? No way. You know I get bored too easily and would want attention.
I press a kiss to his lips. Exhausting, I whisper against his mouth. He tightens his grip on me, smashing my body tight against his.
You said that last night, too.
Shoving at his chest, I laugh at his attempt to show off in front of the guys. We didn't even bang last night.
We did in my dreams, baby.
I'm going back inside before I make you start digging your own grave.
You'd make him dig his own grave? Damn, girl, I like your style,
Shep says, impressed. Just make sure your kids are in their house before you start slipping and sliding all over the yard, I remind him, pulling open the door and giving my hips an extra shake because I know he's watching me. He gives a low whistle and I slide the door closed, laughing at the dork. Maybe we haven't lost our spark at all. 60 minutes, pay up. Groaning, I push off the couch, grabbing my purse from the console next to the front door and pulling out a 20. The girls were all lounging in the living room when I came back inside, watching the boys act like morons. Naturally, a bet was placed. I was Team Broken Bone within the hour, while Denny gave them the benefit of the doubt. I lost. Lucky brat. I grumble, sliding the bill into her waiting hand. Watch. It'll happen within the next 10 minutes now. Wanna bet? Denny winks, and I stick my tongue out. I toss my purse back onto the table and reclaim my comfy spot on the couch. Zoe nods toward the backyard. What's on the menu for this shindig? She rubs at her growing belly. Someone's hungry. Burgers, or maybe hot dogs? Even Zach's not sure. Not sure as in he can't tell them apart? Because if that's the case, we need to have a chat. And not with him. I mean with you, because your boy is dumb as hell. I don't know what's up with him. I was hoping for a lazy day, no offense to any of you ladies. But here we are, hosting a barbecue I knew absolutely nothing about. I glance out back, my brows pulling together when I see Zach staring down at his phone. Again. I try not to be frustrated, but it's hard. He's been so off lately. Is everything okay with you two? Monty asks, picking up on the lingering sadness in my voice. Of course, my response is too quick. I mean, yeah, we're good. She doesn't press, but she doesn't have to. I can see in her eyes she doesn't believe me. I don't know if I believe me either. I shoot up from the couch, annoyed with myself for thinking that way. I'm grabbing wine. Anyone want wine? Let's have wine. Though I can feel tears brimming in my eyes, I casually make my way into the kitchen and away from the curious stares my friends are sending me. Fumbling my way through the blurriness, I pull the fridge open and take out a fresh bottle of wine. I unscrew the top, because let's be honest, I'm no fancy bitch, and grab two glasses from the cabinet. Hey! Ah! The wine goes tumbling to the floor, the sound of broken glass echoing. The white liquid soaks my jeans and seeps between my toes, and I'm more annoyed my socks are wet than I am about the spilled wine. Damn it, Zoe! Shit! I am so sorry, Delia! She rushes toward me, but I hold my hand out. Stop! Glass! Then step away so I can hug you! What's wrong? What happened? Monty comes running into the room, Denver hot on her heels. She gasps at the sight before her. Oh, my cats, Delia, get away from there before you cut yourself. Denny, grab me the broom. Zoe, go away, you're pregnant. Zoe huffs, but takes a few steps back. I'm pregnant, not broken, unlike the bottle Mrs. Butterfingers here just let drop. Because you scared me. You're lucky I didn't shit myself. Girls don't poop, Monty insists quietly. You must be real full of shit then, Denny says, handing the broom to her sister. Monty throws her a look. Just grab me some towels. Damn, you're bossy like your fiancé. I try to stay calm, but the word fiancé sets off the waterworks, and before I know it, I'm enveloped by Zoe's warm embrace. By some miracle, nobody says anything about dramatics. Instead, Zoe silently ushers me upstairs into my bedroom. The door clicks closed behind us as she leads me to the bed, pushing at my shoulders until I'm sitting. I stay wrapped up in her arms, crying until there's nothing left inside me. Sniffling, I eventually push away from her, swiping at the hot tears staining my cheeks. God, I push out a heavy breath. I'm a mess. You are, she pauses for a moment. Delia. Yeah? You're pregnant, aren't you? Chapter 4. God, no. She tilts her head, eyeing me and obviously not believing me. Are you sure? Yes, I sigh. I swear. I took a test last week and it was negative. Then why are you such an emotional wreck lately? I have never seen you like this before. You're starting to worry me. My chin wobbles and more tears threaten to fall from my eyes, but I blink them away, holding on to my last shred of dignity. She's right. I'm not usually like this. I'm generally pretty damn good at holding myself together, but at the moment I feel like I'm falling apart at the seams. I don't know. I think it's just my hormones or something. But definitely not pregnant. Zoe. She holds her hands up. Fine, fine, not pregnant, got it. She bumps her shoulder with mine. Want to talk about it? I don't know, I sigh. I probably should. Then talk. She pushes off the bed. Lie back, close your eyes, I'll grab you new clothes, you talk. That way you don't feel like I'm just staring at you. Maybe you'll open up more. That's dumb. Glaring, she points a finger at me. Just do what I say. You're getting a little too into this whole mommy-tude thing already. Shut up, she shoves at my shoulders. Back. I fall backward, letting myself sink into the comfy bed, exhaling deeply. I listen as my best friend shuffles around my closet, letting everything inside me simmer. She's right. I do need to talk about it. But I'm right, too. This is dumb. I'm being dumb. What if I'm not? I, another deep breath. I think Zach might be over me. Zoe lets out a snort. Right. I'm serious, Zoe. No, you're not. That's the hormones talking. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe it's a 5-year relationship that's going nowhere. Maybe it's the fact that he'd rather be on his phone working than spending time with me. Maybe it's that instead of lounging in bed all day long, he'd rather invite our friends over for a stupid barbecue when he hardly even knows how to work a grill. Maybe it's the fact that we haven't had sex in 3 weeks, or that he doesn't kiss me as passionately as he used to. Maybe, just maybe, he's bored of me. When she doesn't respond, I rise up on my elbows, searching her out. My mouth drops open when I find her doubled over in laughter. I don't care if she's pregnant or not. I reach for the nearest pillow and chuck it at her with all my might. She's lucky I'm a bad shot, the pillow landing at least a foot to the left. Stop laughing! Another guffaw. I can't! Zoe! Maybe, just maybe, you're being a dumbass. You are the worst. What? I'm just being honest. You're being dumb. I push off the bed and head toward the door, but she beats me there, blocking my exit. Move. No, not until we talk about this more. I glare. She takes the brunt of my heated stare, not budging. Fine, I retreat to the bed. But stop laughing. I'll stop laughing when you stop making mountains out of donut holes. Donut holes? She lifts a slender shoulder. What? I'm hungry. Just go with it. When she trusts I'm not going to flee, she returns to the closet, flicking through the blouses and dresses hanging in an orderly fashion. I say this with all the love in the world, Delia, but you're stupid as fuck. You're right. I can definitely feel the love. I'm serious. I love you. You know that. But nobody in this world, not even your mother, loves you more than Zach does. And I'm kind of annoyed with you for even questioning that. Then why does it feel like we're drifting apart? Why aren't we having sex? Why does it sometimes feel like we're going nowhere? The no sex thing is totally normal. You're not always going to pod each other like you did when you first started dating. Do you and Caleb still bang like bunnies? Hell no, she snorts. Sometimes I want to touch him constantly. Sometimes I don't even want to hear him breathe. It's all about balance. And as for going nowhere, you're not going nowhere. Trust me. She says it like she's never been more sure of anything in her life. And I'm so annoyed I can't be that certain of my own relationship. The stupid tears I've barely been holding back fall, and I rush to clean them off before she can see them. Like she has a sixth sense or something, Zoe spins my way, giving me a single glance before rushing to my side. Her own chin wobbles, and she's crying too. The thing is, she has that whole bun-in-the-oven reason for being emotional. Me? I'm just a basket case. She wraps an arm around me, pulling me into her. I need you to stop crying. I'm not emotionally equipped to see you in tears right now. If you cry, I cry, and I really fucking hate crying. Laughing, I lift my shirt and wipe the tears, not caring about the stain I'll have from my mascara. How do you know? That Zach loves you? Yeah, I mean, how do you know and I don't? You know he loves you. Don't pretend otherwise. You're just using this whole he doesn't love me bit as a coping mechanism. Four. She puffs out a breath. Look, I get it. You want to be Kelly Clarkson circa 2003, Miss Independent and all that shit. You don't want to be the fairy tale happily ever after. You've never been that girl. But face it, your friends are all getting theirs and damn it, you want one too. It's natural. She chucks my chin. It's okay to want something more. How did you? No? A shrug. Because you're my best friend, Delia. That and I saw how you reacted when Robbie and Monty announced their engagement. You had this spark in your eye that said, I want that. And then you glared at Zach the rest of the night. I gasp. I did not. She nods. Afraid so? Well, shit. Laughing, she stands and heads for the closet yet again. She pulls down Zach's favorite dress. Okay, fine, it's my favorite, and walks it over to me. Here, put this on. What, don't you think it's a bit fancy for a barbecue? When you feel like shit but look like gold, you're gold, baby. Chuckling, I grab the dress. Fair enough. I stand, stripping down to my unders. Zoe, more than used to my nudity since we lived together once upon a time, doesn't bat an eye. She takes a seat, crossing her legs and pecking away on her phone, probably reassuring Denny and Monty I'm okay, while I head into the bathroom to straighten myself out. I fix the minimal amount of makeup I had on and pull my hair from my messy bun. Twisting it into a side braid, I try not to overthink everything. Again. Hey, Zoe? Yeah? Do you think I'm stupid for wanting to marry Zach? Are you serious? I'm surprised as shit you two didn't do what Shep and Denny did and run off to Vegas shortly after you agreed to move in with him. You and Zach were made for each other, Delia. Nothing is going to come between you. What if he doesn't want to marry me? I don't think that's something you need to worry about. Pausing mid-twist, I poke my head into the bedroom, eyeing her. Why do you sound so certain about that? Has he said something to you? To Caleb? No, dumbass. She taps the side of her head. I'm just using logic instead of my emotions. Shut up, I mutter, returning my attention to the task at hand. Here's a genius idea. Why don't you, I don't know, talk to your boyfriend about it? It's hard. That's what she said. Zoe. What? She says with innocence. You walked right into that one. I'm being serious. I am too. Right into it. No, I mean about it being hard. I know it sounds easier to just talk to him instead of agonizing over it, but talking about it is awkward. I don't want to sound desperate for validation by bringing it up. Honey, you're dating him. He already knows you're desperate. I ignore her. How do you tell someone you love them but you want more? Just spitballing here, but have you tried, I love you, but I want more? I roll my eyes, walking out into the bedroom. Remind me why I'm friends with you again. Because I was the one who told you to put that dress on and you look fabulous in it? Oh, is that why? I twirl. I do look great. Do you feel any better? A little. But I still want to talk to him. So do it. Talk to him. It's simpler than you're making it. Talk to him. She's right. I should talk to him. Bravery inflates me, and I have the sudden urge to barge down those stairs and tell Zach exactly how I feel. I know myself well enough to know if I don't take advantage of the sudden flood of courage, I'll lose it. Zoe. She doesn't look up from her phone. That's me. I'm gonna talk to him. Uh-huh. No, Zoe. She finally shifts her eyes my way. I'm gonna talk to him. Good. You should. I am going to talk to him right now. Her eyes widen. Like, now? Now? Yep, because if I don't, I'll chicken out. I march toward the door, adrenaline surging through my veins. Now? Now? She shrieks, charging off the bed after me. Yes, damn it. With all our friends here? Yep. I race down the stairs, bypassing Monty and Denny, who sit there stunned, probably confused as hell. I fling open the back door, scaring Shep and Caleb, who are relaxing on the patio as Robbie and Zach race down the slide. What's going on? Denny asks as she and Monty join us outside. Hey, Hastings! I yell out across the lawn. Zach catches himself mid-slide, dark hair dripping, water sliding down his cut body, and turns his attention fully on me.
Yeah, Devlin?
I want to marry you. Chapter 5.
All right, which one of you shits told her?
They all shake their heads. Told me what? I ask.
Come on, was it you, Zoe? You suck at secrets.
Hey, take that back! She points at him angrily, looking every bit the mama bear she's soon to become. I didn't say shit!
Robbie?
Zach accuses. He holds his hands up.
No way, bro. I know better. All right, then who?
I march toward him, not stopping until I'm a foot away, hands on my hips. I peer up into his captivating green eyes, my toes tapping against the grass. Told me what, Zachary?
What today is?
An impromptu cookout? His brows draw together as he stares down at me, tongue darting out to catch the water dripping down his face. He's watching me closely, looking for any sign I'm messing with him. I'm not.
You really don't know?
No, damn it! I stamp my foot, annoyed, because I'm clearly missing out on something big. Just tell me what's going on.
Your wedding.
My hand flies to my chest, and a sharp gasp rushes from my lungs. My what? He sighs, running a hand over his face.
This isn't how it was supposed to go, but fuck it.
The last thing I was ever expecting happens before my eyes. Zach drops to one knee, and my heart drops right along with him. He looks up at me with a shy grin, something I'm not used to from him.
Delia Devlin, will you marry me?
I'm frozen, completely shocked. I stand there, mouth hanging open, staring down at the man of my dreams, just blinking. I don't know how much time passes, but it's long enough for Zach's smile to begin to waver.
Delia,
he says, speaking quietly so only I can hear him.
Did you hear me?
Something snaps inside me, and the next thing I know, I'm swatting at him.
Ouch. Hey, watch it.
He pushes to his feet, moving away from my assault.
Is that a no?
You stubborn asshole. I whack him again. I swear to God, Zachary.
I'm starting to think it's a no.
You made me sit around waiting for 5 fucking years for you to try to surprise me with my own wedding day? Are you shitting me?
No.
Oh, my God! I pinch his nipple between my thumb and forefinger, twisting it hard. Purple nurple!
Jesus, Delia!
He wrenches himself out of my grip.
This is the worst proposal ever.
You're telling me, you ass? I cannot believe you right now.
Are you saying yes or no?
Yes! I screech. You know it's yes!
This is so weird.
I hear Robbie say. Zach and I yell at the same time. Shut up, Robbie! Caleb snickers and we both glare at him. He whistles, taking a sip of beer, averting his gaze. What the hell were you thinking, Zach?
That I love you?
I'm serious.
I am too, Delia. I love the shit out of you.
Shit is the least romantic thing in the entire world, Zach. I shoot back, echoing his words from earlier. Why now? Huh? After all this time? He grins, and I know he wants to call me on my unintentional Harry Potter reference, but he knows better than to do so in the middle of a conversation this serious.
Honestly?
No. Lie to me, I smart off. He ignores me.
It was that night in the restaurant when dipshit over there,
he points to Robbie,
beat me to the punch and announced that he'd proposed to Monty. Something inside me clicked and I thought, that should be us.
He grabs my hands, trapping them in his own, and tugs me closer. My breath catches, heart racing so hard I'm almost afraid I'm going to have a heart attack right here in front of everyone. I know they're all staring, but right now it feels as if it's just the two of us.
Look,
he starts, his voice a whisper.
I know we haven't really talked about marriage. I honestly never knew if you wanted it or not, and I didn't want to pressure you. But I do, Delia. I want it. I want to marry you so badly. I want to call you Delia Hastings. I want to call you wife. I want to call you mine.
Tears drip down my cheeks, this time for a good reason.
Hey, don't cry.
The pad of Zach's thumb feels rough across my face.
That's not allowed.
I can't help it. I'm just so happy. I've been wanting to talk to you about marriage for weeks.
So why didn't you?
I was scared.
Of what?
You turning me down? He scoffs.
Please, like that's possible. I mean, have you seen your ass?
I laugh. You really planned a whole wedding for today? Just assumed I was going to say yes.
There was never a doubt in my mind you'd say anything else.
How could you be so sure?
Because, Delia, you're it for me. And besides,
he drops his lips to my ear.
Dimples.
Laughter bubbles out of me. I can't believe you.
Believe it, baby.
Are we really getting married today?
If you want to, yes. I've kind of been planning it for weeks now. It's why I've been on my phone constantly, making sure everything was in order.
Ah, that explains so much. Is that why Marshmallow's wearing a bow tie?
What? No, that's dumb. He just looks cute in it.
My lips twitch because, to Zach, a goat in a bow tie makes perfect sense, but not if it's for a wedding. I'm not dressed for a wedding, you know. He glances down at my dress.
You're wearing your ranch dressing bottle dress. I couldn't imagine you in anything else.
You're not dressed for a wedding.
Fine.
He rolls his eyes.
I'll put my Ryan Reynolds apron back on. Stop begging.
I didn't wash my hair today.
You act like that's something new.
He tugs me closer, wrapping his arms around me, neither of us caring about how wet he is.
Now, any other trivial excuse you got?
No.
Good. Because I really want to marry you today, Delia.
His lips find mine, and for the first time in a while, everything feels right.
Hey, knock it off. We aren't at that part yet.
Robbie hollers.
Zoe, let's do this shit.
She was in on it?
Yep.
Was everyone in on it? Denny raises her hand. I'm surprised as hell right now. What she said. Monty agrees. I'm also annoyed slash impressed that Robert kept it a secret.
I'm sorry, babe, he says to her. I'll make sure to dick you real good later to make up for it.
Monty's cheeks flame red and everyone groans at his crassness. In typical Robbie fashion, he doesn't care. Zoe comes running back out of the house, tossing her phone at Caleb. Here, record this shit for their parents. I gotta go be maid of honor. She runs down to where we're standing, wrapping her arms around my neck, squeezing me. Surprise! Happy wedding day! I hold her tightly. I'm going to kill you later. No, you're not. I'm bearing your godchild. Fine, but after baby Delia's here, you're dead. Pulling away, she laughs. Deal. She claps her hands together. Okay, here we go. Robbie steps up to Zach, acting as the witness. Aren't we missing an officiant?
Oh, right. How could I forget?
Zach shakes his head.
Hey, anyone here happen to be an officiant?
Caleb rises from his chair.
Well, shit. I just happened to get certified last night. What a coincidence.
What? Zoe cries. You're in on this too?
You aren't the only sneaky one.
He winks at her and hands her phone off to Shep.
You just got promoted to videographer. Zoe, quit hollering. You're gonna scare the baby.
She grabs her sandal off her foot, shaking it at him. Caleb actually flinches.
Look,
Zach says,
this isn't like official because we don't have marriage certificates yet. I tried getting one, but they thought I was kidnapping you and forcing you into marriage or some shit. But we can go right after this, get the certificate, sign it, and we're good to go. Or we can go now, up to you.
I want to marry you right now. Zach takes my hands, squeezing them.
Good, because I can't wait another second. Then shut up so I can officiate this thing.
Caleb slides a sheet of paper from his pocket and clears his throat.
It all started with a strapping young lad getting dumped by his hot, but not hotter than his baby mama, ex-girlfriend.
Caleb? Zoe seethes.
Right, I'll skip ahead.
He stares at the paper for a second before folding it and tucking it away.
You know, I had this whole romantic speech planned, but I think I'm gonna scrap it. And not just because Zoe would have my balls if I continued. We're here today to celebrate two people who are the epitome of unconditional love. There's nothing traditional about Zach and Delia, especially given their meet cute. I mean, who who keeps texting the wrong number and gets the girl in the end? Hastings, that's who. Who buys a baby goat for a stranger? Hastings. Who invites everyone over for a wedding masked as a barbecue and then doesn't serve any barbecue? Hastings. Spoiler alert, he ordered pizzas with extra ranch. My soon-to-be husband interjects, "You're all welcome." Caleb points at him. Remember what I said about unconditional? That right there is proof of it, because there are a whole lot of conditions attached to what he just said. Really, man? Ranch and pizza? Zach shrugs. Don't knock it until you try it. Never. Ranch is the devil's semen.
Caleb Mills, you cannot say semen during a wedding ceremony.
Ah, shit. I forgot we were still doing that.
Everyone laughs.
Right. Anyway, I'd go through the whole, if anyone has anything to say, do it now speech, but no one here is going to object. I mean, how could you?
Caleb smiles warmly at us.
Delia, I love you like a sister, and I am so happy you found someone brave enough to take you on.
Tears prick my eyes and I smile, trying to fight them. Thank you, Caleb.
Hastings, does she let you have half the pizza? She does. Then you're definitely the one.
Zach laughs.
Okay, as we can all see, I am clearly very bad at this, and believe it or not, my script was worse. But let's be honest, this wedding wouldn't be a Zach and Delia event without a little awkwardness. So let's get to the important part.
Caleb faces me.
Delia Devlin, do you take Zach Hastings to be your awfully wedded husband?
Lawfully, Zoe sighs. I cannot believe I let you get me pregnant. Can I just ask one question first? Zach furrows his brow.
Like, right now?
Yes, it's important.
Shoot.
How do you feel about kids?
Oh.
He shudders.
I mean, they're great when I can give them back to their parents, but I'll pass on having my own. Besides, we have our hands full with the goats and me.
He winks and I laugh. Then I do.
Zachary Hastings, do you take Delia Devlin to be your awfully,
he smirks a little,
wedded wife? Send it.
Zachary, that is not I do, I admonish.
Same, same diff, Delia,
Robbie chimes in.
Just kiss the dumbass already. It's my turn for the slip and slide.
This is the weirdest wedding I've ever attended, Denny says.
If it makes you feel any better, I'm recording it on two phones so we can watch all this awkwardness from multiple angles later.
Shep tells her. Denny points to her sister. Make sure you get your sister-in-law boo-hooing over there. Shep turns the cameras toward Monty, who hides her face behind her hands. Stop. I can't help it. It's just so beautiful.
Who has the rings?
Caleb asks.
Funny story about that.
Robbie rocks back on his heels.
I was hiding Zach's ring in my pocket and it fell out.
He winces.
Then milk chocolate kind of ate it, so we're gonna have to do rings later. Like maybe tomorrow.
We should really submit this to Sundance,
Shep suggests. If we don't win a fucking Oscar for this shit, I'm gonna be so pissed. Denny agrees.
Right.
Caleb presses forward.
Rings later. Well, then by the power vested in me by help I need to officiate my friend's wedding.com, I now pronounce you husband and wife. You may now kiss the bride, but make it fast because the pizza's getting cold.
My eyes meet Zach's, and there's nothing but that unconditional love Caleb mentioned shining in them. He leans into me, smiling. Those dimples I fell in love with poking through.
What do you say, Delia?
He whispers, our lips so close but not quite touching.
You jump?
This moment? It's my favorite moment of my entire life. I jump. And we take the leap together. The end.
This has been Textin' Up My Heart by Tegan Hunter. Read for you by Elizabeth Hart.
And we're back.
Hi.
So if you want more from this couple, Zach and Delia, and I'm sure you do, go buy the book Let's Get Textual. It's the first in Tegan Hunter's texting series. If you want to try another series, A Pizza My Heart is the first one. And you can check out, it's a standalone romance, best friend's brother. You can't go wrong with that. So we loved having Tegan Hunter on the podcast. Thank you, Tegan, for stopping by.
Thank you.
You've probably got a whole new legion of lady listener fans going to get your books, hopefully. And come back next week. Elle Christensen's going to be here with a book called Ride a Cowboy. And that sounds like something I'm interested in. So I think we can all get on board with that. And that's it. Leah, tell them what to do.
Fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick.
Bye.
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 Read me romance, read me romance, read me romance, read me romance.